Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So good to have all of you here this morning to hear the Word of God and to worship with Oasis today. And we want to welcome you. And if this is your first time, we thank you for coming. And let's just give them a hand clap of welcome Amen. Today. Amen. 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 So honored to have each and every one of you. And before I turn it over to Pastor, I just want to speak over the service this morning and over each and every one of us. Amen. Father, we just come to you today, Father God, giving you praise and glory, Father God. We invite your presence into this service today. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that our hearts are ready to receive your word this morning, Father. We thank you, Father God, that our minds are quickened to your word today. We thank you, Father God, that our hearts are quickened to you today, to your word, Father God, to your spirit this day, Father God. We give you praise and glory and honor, Father God, for what you're going to do in this service today. And we thank you for your mighty, many mighty blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, it is neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. I ask you to point at your neighbor and say, I came
to receive
God's good word.
God's good word.
This day.
And I declare.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
To receive
God's good word.
God's good word.
This day.
And I declare.
I'll never.
Ever.
Be the same.
Again.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. And hallelujah. Ask if you will to get your Bibles and go to John.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 2. The title of the message today is, Whatever He Says to You, Do It. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to be reading out of the King James this morning, starting with John chapter 2, starting verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew whence what it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, they set that which is worse, but that thou hast kept the good wine until now. This was the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested both forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So he gave them instructions. Anytime we're needing a miracle, how many of y'all need a miracle? You've got a problem and you need a miracle. Jesus, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, is going to give us an instruction. He's going to tell us something to do in order to unlock that miracle for us. And in this case, he told them, you know, bring the water pots, fill them with water. He gave them specific instructions. And as they obeyed those specific instructions, the water was turned into wine, that miracle happened. And it's the same with us. He will give us specific instructions. How many of y'all would rather just have somebody lay hands on you and that's it? Okay. Some people are honest. I mean, sometimes the instructions that the Lord gives us, sometimes, you know, there's a lot for us to do in some of these things that the Lord will tell us to do to get the miracle. There's some standing involved. There's some believing involved. There's some stuff that we've got to do. But we've got to obey and believe. There was a college student, and she is praying one morning before going to school or whatever, and she gets this impression, go by like the fast food restaurant. I think it was McDonald's or whatever. And she said, that can't be right. She said, I already ate. I'm not hungry at all. I don't want anything. Why would I go there? And she kept getting this impression, go by the fast food restaurant. So she went by the fast food restaurant, and she didn't know what to do. She just sat down. She's just sitting there. And this family comes in, this lady and several children. And the lady looks over at her, and she notices that this girl's got on this college jersey. And she says, I see your college jersey. She said, do you need a job? And the girl needed a job. That was her greatest need in her life, was a job. Well, God sent her to McDonald's and didn't tell her that he was sending her to McDonald's to give her a job. But this lady gave her a job right on the spot. Now, you can say what you want to. Sometimes, you know, we want the Lord to say, okay, now, Lord, here's the deal. I want the whole plan. I don't want just go to McDonald's. Why am I at McDonald's? Why have I got to do it this way? Why couldn't you do it the other way? It doesn't make sense to me, God. Why would you send me to McDonald's? I already ate. I don't even like McDonald's. I like Burger King better. Why are you sending me there? Why are you having me do it this way? And you know what? That's the reason we don't get the miracles like we should. Honest to God, that's the reason we don't get them like we should. Okay, you're going to notice a pattern in this morning. I'm going to give a lot of scripture, but I'm going to give there's a pattern, a definite pattern. John chapter 9, starting verse number 1. And Jesus, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. Now, the disciples and Jesus, they start asking him a lot of religious questions, why the man is sick, who sinned, and all this stuff. And we're going past all that. And verse number 6, when he had spoken, Jesus, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said, go. That's a specific instruction. Go. Wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, came seeing. Now, here's what I found out. Siloam, Bible scholars say, from where he was, is about 2 miles. Well, a lot of times we don't want to walk 2 miles to get our miracle. Sometimes we say, well, you know, Lord, I know you told me to go to Oasis Family Church, but there's a church that's 10 miles closer to my house than Oasis Family Church, and so I'm going to go there. But the Lord said, I've got your things worked out, and I've got plans for you lined up, but you're going to have to do exactly what I tell you. You're going to have to follow my instructions, not what you want to do. You've got to do it my way, or the instruction, the miracle, and the supernatural breakthroughs will not be unlocked. This is good preaching if you didn't know it. See, Daniel recognized this is good preaching. Good preaching. Hallelujah. So he says, go to the pool of Siloam. He had to walk 2 miles. Then he had to dip in that pool, wash in that pool. But he went and he did it. He obeyed the instructions and he received his miracle. Okay, so when we need a miracle, we're going to be given instructions of what to do most of the time. Luke chapter 5. Now when he was through speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. These are specific instructions. Launch out into the deep. Go into the deep water. Then launch out your nets. Drop your nets. Let your nets down for a haul of fish. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Wait a minute. Let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. He only let down one net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net began to break. They beckoned unto their partners who were in the other boat that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now I have a question. Am I open to receive unusual directions from God? Now that is to you and to me. Am I open? I mean, because sometimes I block things. Thank you very much. I'm the only one in this whole place that blocks things? I don't believe that. There's some other blockers in here. Y'all block things. I mean, some people, you could talk to them and they block you. They don't even hear a word you say. You talk to them 10 minutes. They ain't heard one word you said. Y'all know it's true. Now, this is an unusual instruction because Peter was a fisherman. He is a commercial fisherman. This is what he's done all his life. This is his profession. The Lord's instructions don't make sense to him. But by following the Lord's commands and obeying his instructions, Peter gets a supernatural breakthrough, a miracle. But Peter, if you noticed, started to get into reasoning. Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Lord, I know this situation. I know it better than you do. I know my relatives, Father. I know my friends. I know my co-workers. This won't work in their situation, Father. You can't do this in this situation. This will not work. I've tried this before. I've said this before. This will not work in this situation. I know you said give this amount of money. I've done that before. It just didn't work for me. I've tried the tithing thing. I tried it 2.5 weeks. It didn't work for me. It did not work for me. Y'all are laughing because you know you can't try it, and you can't try it for 2.5 weeks. That's the reason you're laughing. Because you're laughing because you've done that and it didn't work for you. Hallelujah. Now here's the thing. Peter's going, Master, we toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. You and I can grieve the Holy Spirit through debating. Through reasoning. Lord, here's why. I got 14 reasons this will not work. I know perfectly why this won't work. This is an impossible situation. It will not work. It cannot be fixed. Do what I gave you to do. Obey the instructions I gave you to do and you'll get the results I told you you would get. Obey the exact instructions I told you to obey. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Well, no, it's not disobedience. Yes, it is. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 8. The Lord said to him, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Zidon. There's a widow there who will feed you. Get this. I have given her my instructions. The Lord told this widow that she's going to be feeding a prophet. He told her in advance. So he went to Zarephath, and he arrived at the gate of the city, and he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her for a cup of water. That's an instruction. Would you bring me a cup of water? That's an instruction from a prophet. Would you bring me a cup of water? And she was going to get it. As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. That's another instruction. That seems like a natural thing to me. Bring the man some water. Give him a piece of bread. I mean, that seems natural. There's nothing supernatural about that water and that bread. Oh, yeah? But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I hadn't had a single piece of bread in the house, and I've only a handful of flour left and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jar. And I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I must die of starvation. Wait a minute. I thought the Lord had already given her instructions. There's a widow there who will feed you. I have given her my instructions. This widow woman is poor mouthing. Oh, this is good. This is good. No, I'm fixing to die. Me and my boy are fixing to die. I know God spoke to us and told us if we'd feed you, everything will be fine. But that's impossible. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and cook that last meal. But bake me a little loaf of bread first. I would love for the news media to get a hold of that. Pastor asked for the widow's last loaf of bread. And said, quote unquote, your bread will just keep on coming. Your meal barrel will never run dry. Yeah. And afterwards, but go ahead and bake me a little loaf of bread first. And afterwards, there will still be enough food for you and your son. For the Lord God of Israel says that there will always be plenty of flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said. So she did as Elijah said. Here's the key now. So she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her son continued to eat from her supply of flour and oil as long as it was needed. Obey the instructions, even if they don't seem to make sense to your natural mind. And a miracle will happen, a breakthrough will occur, if we'll obey. There was this church, and they took up money for a children's ministry. It's a missions, children's missions. And there was this widow in this church, and they did it every year at Christmas time. And she was praying about what to give, and the Lord spoke to her and said, give $200. And $200 is like, you know, $2,000 for most people. And she was like, $200? She said, how am I going to give $200? I don't even have $200. And she's praying about it. She felt like she'd heard from God. When I say she felt like it, she couldn't get that amount off her mind. So she goes home and she's praying about it or whatever. Then she goes in her attic to get a box of, there was some tape that she needed, like in a little container or whatever. She went in the attic and she got this container with this tape in it. She opened the container and there was $200 exactly in that container in her attic. She had no idea it was there. And she said, Lord, that's your money. Now, most of us would have said, hallelujah, glory to God. Lord, I'll see you when I get back off vacation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, God. You gave me $200, he gave her seed money. Oh, it got quiet again. Hallelujah. Oh. In receiving miracles, we have to do exactly what we're told to do. Exactly the instructions. There was a church service, and by the Spirit in this church service, it sounds like an odd instruction, but by the Spirit in one church service, this lady, this minister told this lady, he said, he laid the Bible out, he said, stand on the Bible. He said, and you're going to receive your miracle. And it sounded like a stand on the Bible. She got up on that Bible. The second she got up on that Bible, a miracle happened. There was somebody else in that same service, and that minister said, run. And the person thought about it and said, I can't. And then they ran. The second they started running, they got a miracle healing in their body. But they had to obey that instruction. See, now here's the thing. Maybe they couldn't run in the natural. You know, I've heard Brother Hagin say it before. He said one time there was 5 wheelchairs in a service that he was in. And by the Spirit, you know, the Spirit may tell you nothing in a service that those people are in. Nothing. He may tell you nothing to do specifically that's different. He said, but in this one particular service, the Spirit was moving so strong, the Spirit got on him and told him, he said, tell the first one to get up and run. And the first, they're in the wheelchair now, and the first one jumped up out of that wheelchair and started running. The second one, the Spirit of God told him the same thing, said, tell him to get up and run. He's obeying the Spirit. What the Spirit is telling him, he has a rhema word for them. 1, 2, 3, 4. The last one, the fifth one, he said, tell him to get up and run. And the person in the wheelchair, the guy said, I can't run. I can't even walk. He said, neither could they. He said, but they did. One of those others couldn't even hardly get out of the chair, but what they did is he got on the floor and started scooting. He's scooting across the floor before he got to the edge of their sanctuary, the end of their sanctuary, he was running. But he obeyed. He was obeying an illogical instruction. It didn't make sense to him. It certainly didn't make sense in his body. Didn't make sense to his mind, but he obeyed that instruction. He almost refused it. He almost blocked it. Now here we go. How many of y'all realize we block those instructions a lot? I know I have. Luke 17, starting verse number 12, King James. He entered into a certain village, Jesus. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Now hang on. We see this differently than it is. We read it differently than it is. Now, that seemed illogical to the lepers because you weren't supposed to show yourself to the priest until you were healed. And they felt no different when Jesus spoke the command. They didn't appear any different. Nothing happened to them any different when he said, "You're healed. Go show yourself to the priest." Nothing changed on them. Their body didn't suddenly quicken. Their symptoms didn't suddenly go away. Nothing happened to them. But as they went, the symptoms started leaving. Leprosy started dropping off. You understand? As they went, they were healed. They had to go by faith. We have to go by faith. Okay, I'm going to show you in little simple things. This lady was wanting to get her daughter a bicycle for Christmas. And she started praying about it. She's only got a short time left to get the bicycle or whatever. And she knows her daughter's favorite color is pink, so she's going to get a pink bicycle. And she's praying about it, and pink's just not it. She said purple keeps coming to her. She keeps seeing purple or hearing purple, 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 purple. She said, "My daughter likes pink. Pink's her favorite color. It don't make any sense." And she said, "Well, where should I get this purple bicycle? I mean, she's only got like an hour of time, a little slot of time to get it." And there was a store. The name of a store popped in her mind. It just boom. And she said, "I never go to that store. I never go there." Boom. Go to that store. She walked in that store, that particular store that she never went to. All the bicycles are up hanging in the ceiling, except for one little girl's bicycle that was purple. It was on the floor. It was ready to be bought. She got that bicycle. She took it home to her little girl. Her little girl said, "I was really wanting a purple bicycle so bad." She said, "That was the color I wanted." The Holy Spirit knew. God knew. But she had to obey the instructions. Isaiah 30:21 says, "You'll hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, follow it,' whether it turns to the right hand or to the left." Joshua in the walls of Jericho, he needed a miracle. God said, "Walk around the wall 7 days in a row." I noticed part of that other part of this miracle is don't say a word. You know the reason he had them not say a word? I know. I pastor a church, I know. Because some of them are going to say, Joshua has lost it. This is the stupidest thing. My feet are tired. I'm walking. I can't talk. He don't want me to talk. Shh. Can't talk. Because if they talk, they're going to murmur. They're going to complain. They're going to gripe. They're going to belly ache. Has anyone ever done that? Anyone that says they hadn't? Glory to God. We've all done it, haven't we? But they did the instruction. And on the seventh day, they were supposed to walk around it seven times. One time, 6 days, not say a word. Seventh day, on the seventh time, shout. And the walls came down. They had specific instructions that they obeyed. There's one case in the Old Testament where people needed water. The word of the Lord came to them, specific instructions, dig ditches. They dug ditches. That night, the ditches filled with water. They needed a miracle. They received an instruction. And after obeying that instruction, they received their miracle. Jesus and Peter needed tax money. Matthew 17:27. "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go into the sea," instruction, "and cast a hook," instruction, "take up the fish," the first fish that first cometh up, instruction, "and when you have opened his mouth," instruction, "you shall find a piece of money. Take and give that to them for me and you." Seems illogical to me. Well, I've never been fishing and caught a fish with money in its mouth. Most time I go fishing, I don't even catch a fish. I certainly don't catch one with money in its mouth. Seems illogical to me. I don't think I'll do it. Need to do it. Obey that instruction. See, now the Lord's given us all instructions. Now, here's where people mess it up. They think He's given Pastor Rock and Pastor Sharon instructions, but He's given all of us instructions. You have children, you have relatives, you have friends, you have people, acquaintances, and people on your job, and ways that you need to do your job. And the Lord is giving you instructions on what's going to make things easier for you, and what will make your life easier, and what will make this work and that work. And He's giving us instructions all the time. Our problem is we're not fully obeying those instructions that He's given us. We're reasoning it away. We're debating it. Nah, that won't work. When God healed Naaman, He told him to go and dip in the Jordan River, 2 Kings 5:10. Go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Naaman's like, why I got to go to Jordan River? There's a lot of nice rivers before that, a lot of cleaner rivers. Why I got to go to Jordan River? That's so stupid. That prophet didn't even come out of the house. He sent his servant out there to tell me this. God had him do it because it was a test, because he had a lot of pride. Oh, hang on now. Sometimes it's a test because we got a lot of pride. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to me. We all are in this same boat. I got 2 paddles in this boat. I assure you, I'm fully in that boat. And the Lord will tell you to do something. Well, I won't look dignified if I do that. I don't care how you look. I thought you wanted a miracle. Well, if I do that, it's going to drain the bank account. I don't care what it's going to do. Didn't you say you needed a financial miracle? Well, yeah, but couldn't you just have somebody give me some money? No, He gave you an instruction, something to do. The Bible says, verse 14, then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This young minister was saving up money to buy him a suit, and he saved him $200. And so he's going to go shopping like the next day. He goes to a meeting. There's an evangelist there ministering. He's sitting there, and he's happy. He's got his money. He's fixing to get him some nice clothes or whatever. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, give that evangelist your $200 for your suit money. Is the Lord talking to you? Did you hear the Lord say something to you? Lord, why would I give him my $200? He's wearing better clothes than I'm wearing. Why I got to give him $200? He did it. He said he had to really work on his heart because he wasn't too happy when he did it. You're not supposed to give begrudgingly, he said, but it was really hard. He said he gave the money. He said time rocked on. You know, he's I guess he's probably saving again for his suits, clothing money. And he said in about 6 months, sometimes the Lord will let you wait. In about 6 months, this couple called him at a place that he had ministered, and they said, next time you're going to be in Louisiana, me and my husband were praying, and the Lord told us to treat you just like our son. As if we had a son, we're going to treat you just like our son. So the next time you come to Louisiana, you let us know when you're coming back, because we're going to take you out and we're going to buy you some clothes. He said, how long do you think it was going to be before I went to Louisiana? So the Lord impressed on him to go to Louisiana. And he said they took him and they dressed him fine. He said about 6 months later, they gave him another call. They said, would you come back? We want to take you out again. They took him out again. Said they 6 months later, they did it again. 6 months later, they did it again. So he was ministering in another church. And he said, and the pastor of the church stopped in the middle of his ministry and said, there was a minister down there. And he's Mike Murdoch. He said, I'm so glad that you're here. He said, the Lord told me to take you out and buy you a set of clothes. He said that happens to him in place after place after place after place. Now, if God will do it for one person, He'll do it for every person. Well, I don't know about that. God's no respecter of persons. Pastor Sharon, she gave away, I've told you over and over, she gave away most of her closet. And I didn't have a clue that's what she did. I thought, I was glad I didn't have a clue, because it would have worried me silly. But she gave away I mean, there was a few little things in her closet. And I was like, wow, I guess she's got it all in the other room, in the closet in the other room. I should have known better than that. And anyway, I asked her what she did. She said, I gave my clothes away. Oh, my God. My mom got a call from a relative. My mom didn't know anything about it. The relative didn't know anything about it. She said, I got some clothes that I believe that'll fit Sharon. She said, I'd like to give them to her. She said, maybe she can try them on, see if they work. She said, see if they fit. She said, most of them I've never even worn. Most of them had the tags on them. Hang on. Designer stuff. A lot of them were designer clothes. You understand? I'm trying to paint you a picture. God could dress Pastor Sharon better than Pastor Rock could dress Pastor Sharon. God can dress you better than your husband can dress you. Y'all getting it now? She had a full thing of clothes on both sides, and mine was reduced back to what it normally was, and then out of the closet into another spot, the way it should be, and the way every man, I'm sure, in this place is the same way. When Jesus fed the multitude, he asked them to bring the little boy's lunch to him. He had them sit down in groups of 50s and 100s. He gave them specific instructions. Bring it here. Bring what you got. Then sit them down in 50s and 100s. Why is he sitting them down? He's fixing to feed them. He going to feed them with one little boy's lunch? It's going to multiply. Because if they'll do it, if they'll get them grouped up in the 50s and 100s, hang on. If we'll do what he tells us to do, it's going to happen. Our miracle, it'll be here. It'll multiply. It'll do whatever God has to do it. He's checking us to see if we're going to do it. You could be talking to someone, even a complete stranger, and you think about a scripture. You have an impression to pray for them. Chuck was telling me this morning about something where he had an impression he met somebody that was a stranger, and their child, he started praying for. He asked them, could he pray for their child, and he just started praying for their child. The Lord's wanting us to do that more and more. Here's the thing. We think word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit, they're for the body in the church, they are. But they're also, they're for outside. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gift of miracles, these things should be working on the outside of these doors. They should be working on your job. They should be working in Walmart or wherever you're at. They should be working there. You say, well, how are they going to work? They can work through you. Because the Lord's going to say to you, lay your hands on them. Ask them if you can pray. You're going to see a miracle. We have no idea. We say, well, I can't pray for them. What if nothing happens? You're not responsible for what happens. God's responsible for what happens. You do the praying. God does the miracles. You don't take the thing for the miracles. You let God do it. But we reason those thoughts away. We reason those impressions away. I can't do that. I'm shy. I'm telling you, God's saying, I want you out of your mold. I want you to stretch. I want you to do things you've never done. I'm going to give you instructions. Are you able to receive instructions that seem illogical to you? Then you're in line for miracles, seeing miracles in Walmart and in your job and in places in your family. Are you? Will you step out? Will you receive the instructions that I give you to do? Well, that would be very embarrassing. Step out and it's not going to be embarrassing. Devil's going to be the one to get embarrassed. I mean, I tell you, the devil will put you in some spots sometimes and say, I'm going to embarrass you. You turn it around and you pray for somebody and embarrass the devil because the glory of God will be revealed in the situation. I'm telling you, that'll happen. Instead of reasoning it away, we do that instruction. We obey it. And we watch a miracle or a breakthrough happen. Isaiah, I'm coming to a close. Isaiah 50 and verse number 4. The servant of God says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. The Lord's going to give you scriptures to give people that you just meet for the first time. You're going to have a scripture pop up in your head. Why is that scripture there? And you just met this person, give them that scripture. Why is this person's face there I hadn't seen in 20 years? Pray for them. Right now you're interceding for them. I'm giving you an instruction to pray for them. He wakes you up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you say, why am I awake? Pray for so-and-so. That's the reason you're thinking about them. Pray for them right now. That's an instruction. Obey that instruction. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. God is wanting to use us in greater ways. Whatever he says to you, do it. God wants us to step out of our comfort zones. That's all of us now. It may be in the area of giving. It may be in the area of praying. It may be in allowing God to use you in the gifts of the Spirit. Let God give us instructions. And let's obey those instructions. Pay a bill for so-and-so. Buy so-and-so a gift. Send so-and-so a card. Whatever he says to you, do it. Ask Pastor Sharon if she'd come.
Praise the Lord. That was an awesome word. Something that we all need to be more aware of in our lives is listening for the voice of the Lord. Amen. And I just want to speak some blessings over you this morning before we go, and just be ready to receive. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just come, Father God, thanking you for this word this morning, Father. And we thank you, Father God, that we don't just hear the word, but we do the word. Father, we thank you that your word says that your sheep hear your voice. Father, we just declare this morning, Father God, that we hear your voice, Father God, clearly and loudly, and that we follow, Lord God. We obey, and we obey quickly the voice of the Lord our God.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that you, Father God, go before us, Father. That you, Father God, give us instruction. That you care so much about us, Father God. That you want to speak to us on every area of our lives, Father. And we thank you, God, that you will speak to us and that you will give us instruction.
Yes.
You will lead us and you will guide us, Father. And we give you praise for that. And Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that the blessings of the Lord come on your people, Father God. Mm-hmm. They come on you and they overtake you. I declare in the name of Jesus, you are blessed coming in and you are blessed going out. And everything you put your hands to prospers in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you and I declare in Jesus' name, this is an abundant people, Father God.
Yes.
They have an abundant supply in their finances in the name of Jesus. They have abundant supply for every bill, for every need that they have in their lives in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I declare in Jesus' name that the peace of God dwells in your home, in your family, on your job, everywhere you go.
Yes.
I declare the peace of God fills your hearts and your minds.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. I declare health and strength to your body.
Yes.
I declare soundness to your mind.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I declare your minds are quick and sharp and bright. I declare in the name of Jesus that your children are blessed of the Lord.
Yes.
I declare they will be instruments of blessings to this world.
Yes.
They'll hear the voice of the Lord their God clearly, and they will obey his voice quickly.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. I declare that God's protection over this family, this church family, and their all of their family members, I declare the protection of God over them.
Yes.
I declare long life.
Yes.
Long life.
Yes.
Long life over your people, Father God.
Yes.
Health, strength, peace, and joy to you and to all your family in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen.
Amen.
We receive. Amen. We receive the word of God this morning.
Amen.
We receive his word.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ashley, you can come up.